You know, it may be the month of December with all the holidays that there are more there. It's possible there are more family photos taken at this time of year than perhaps any other time of the year. And certainly I would venture to guess that there's probably no month where more cameras are purchased than this time of the year, than December, because of all of the holidays. Jack Socha, photography instructor and author of How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought, our guest now to talk about taking those photos, the get-togethers with the families and friends over the holidays, talk about cameras and how to use those digital cameras. He probably would have some recommendation for types of cameras as well. You can join in. Maybe you're in the market for a digital camera, or maybe you want some advice on how to take the best pictures. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you there. And Jack Socha, welcome.
Thanks for having me on. It's good to be with you. And this is certainly the time of year when the camera sales are going. My wife was saying maybe we shouldn't have titled the book How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought, because it makes it sound like you're buying your first camera. But that camera you just bought might be your second one or your third one.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you've got in that book, you've got... I don't care if it's your 10th one.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, a lot of people buy a new camera because they're not happy with what the old one was doing, and it might not be the camera's fault. I hate to say
no.
It. It's like the old joke about computers. The problem is located between the chair and the keyboard.
Well, you're probably right about that, and I'm betting a lot of people are sort of shaking their heads. Yeah, he's probably right. And I know there's lots of people getting together with family and friends, you know, over the holidays, inside and a lot of inside, but probably some outside too. What are some good tips for taking great people pictures?
Well, one thing is, before you even start, make sure your camera's working properly. I did put something up on my site, acpress.com, to go to the main pages and the photo area. It's called The 12 Camera Checks of Christmas. And this is a PDF or an HTML file. You can download it or look at it. But take a look at that. And then when you go to take your people pictures, one thing is, if you can possibly do it, especially if you're outdoors or in a well-lit area, try turning off the flash.
Yeah,
I say in another class I teach on eBay selling that it makes everything look kind of bad. Flash was never meant to be used as much as it is. And if you could possibly take a picture in natural light, it will look so much nicer. On the other hand, if you're all at the pizza place around the table and you're all holding up your pizza slices, use the flash. Yeah, get the picture. That, and the other thing is before you experiment with some different mode or turning off the flash, take the picture on fully automatic with the flash. At least get one picture. Then you can experiment with other settings you haven't tried before.
Absolutely, that's good advice. And those, I looked through your and have read through your 12 camera checks of Christmas. Really good advice. That's some really good advice there.
They were laughing here at work because they were saying the first one on is your camera actually working? And that's based on real experience. I have pulled cameras out of bags, usually little point and shoots that I haven't really treated very nicely, and discovered that while they were in the bag, it got dropped and something broke. And, you know, and that's absolutely, it does happen. I mean, you think, well, there's nothing wrong with the camera. It worked last time I used it. Check first, because they get bumped, and things get dented, screens can break, all kinds of things can happen to them.
Yeah, and your second one, that just happened to us not that long ago, batteries.
How are the batteries? If you've got a digital camera that's more than a couple of years old and you're using rechargeable batteries, they're beginning to get a little long in the tooth, and they may not hold the charge as much as they used to. The same thing happens with laptops. So you may have to go buy a new battery for the camera. And as I always say in the book, too, if you only have one of those proprietary funny-shaped batteries that you just can't go over to a quick stop place and buy, and you only have that one battery, and that battery goes dead, you're done shooting for the day. So you might want to buy a second battery.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes they're kind of expensive.
They can be, and you know what's happened recently is these companies are sometimes putting a chip in the battery so you can only use their brand. Now, they're doing this for two reasons. Number one, I hate to sound nasty, but they want to make the money.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But the second thing is people find these incredibly weird off-brand versions of the batteries. Sometimes they're available online, and they aren't very good. And then the camera doesn't work well, and then they blame the camera and tell all their friends, don't buy that camera, it's no good.
Yeah.
The problem, it's just like bad inkjet cartridges, you know. So they're defending their own reputation, and at the same time, they're making some money.
Yeah. Bill, and then there's nothing wrong with making money.
No, they got to keep doing it. But, yeah, if you're using Penlight batteries, AA batteries, it's a different story. You can just go anyplace and buy them, although rechargeables are still a great opportunity, and they last longer and longer now, which is really good. But again, even your rechargeables that you buy, the regular AA types, after a couple, 3 years, they start getting a little tired.
Yep.
And do recycle all these batteries responsibly. Many places, such as a Radio Shack or any place that sells batteries a lot, has a recycling program where they take the batteries back. Now, if you want to get me something for Christmas, here's what you can get me. This is Popular Photography's 2012 Camera of the Year.
Oh.
It's the Canon EOS 5D Mark III. It has a very high resolution, way behind what anybody else around here has, and it has a full-frame sensor. Hey, and Larry, it's a deal. Only around $3,500 for the body.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Meanwhile, back on Earth.
Yeah. We have Bill in Madison wants to know about a small camera, I think. Bill, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You want one of those $3,500 cameras, or were you interested in some?
Frankly, I have a much more pedestrian taste.
Okay.
That's probably a good choice. That's a good choice. You're looking for what kind of things are you planning on taking with the camera?
Well, I had taken this small Kodak. It was a DX, I think, 7630, and I took it with me to Europe a couple of times. Had a 10x zoom, I think it was, and it had a viewfinder. It didn't have one of those screens in the back. I really don't like those screens. It worked on AA batteries, and it had great resolution. I could download the pics onto my laptop and that kind of thing, and I just haven't been able to find it.
Yeah, unfortunately, the viewfinders, they've kind of brainwashed people into thinking they don't need them anymore, and they really do. If you don't mind one that is not as big as an SLR, but a little bigger than a compact, a camera I mentioned several months ago from the General Electronics, GE, they call it a bridge camera. It looks like a small SLR. You can't take the lens off, but it's got a dual viewfinder. It's got the regular electronic viewfinder in the back and a smaller electronic one in the viewfinder, kind of like an old single lens reflex. I'm not plugging Radio Shack today, but I was over at a Radio Shack yesterday, and they've got the 16 megapixel model for $109. And
wow.
I've got one of these cameras, and I've gotten very, very sharp pictures out of it. This means that if it's $109 there, any place else that you happen to see it, they should be doing price matching this time of year. You can get it for $109, and it does run on Penlight batteries. Now, it's not quite as small as your little square compact ones, but it's got a really long lens to it, and it's got the same panoramic deal that Sony has in their cameras, where you can move the camera, and these two little dots, when they come together, it takes the next piece, and it pieces it together for you. It's a lot of good stuff for $109.
And what's the camera again?
It's a GE. I believe it's called a DX500. It's 16 megapixels, so just look for a 16 megapixel GE. It's black, it's small. It looks like a shrunk-down SLR with a lens you can't take off. It looks very, very similar to the Fuji models that are nearby. I don't know who's making it, and I've had very good results with it and other products from that same company, so it's worth looking at.
Yeah.
I think that sounds exactly what I need. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, you made Bill's a happy man.
Well, if you can match your needs to your price range, you're doing great. Not everybody needs a $3,500 camera. I work and I teach with a local professional photographer in the La Crosse area named Bob Metcalf. He has one of these cameras, and he is thrilled that he can shoot at, I think it's 2,500 ISO, which is very, very high. My older Canon one is only 1600. And for people who are shooting with lenses that are not real fast lenses, like 5.6, it's the difference between getting an indoor shot and not getting an indoor shot.
There you go. Gary in Boscobel. Hi, thank you for calling.
Thanks, Larry. I wanted to ask Jack a question. I've got a Canon EOS Rebel XS, and I bought a one of the expensive Canon lenses with it. It's a 100 to 400, $1,800 telephoto lens. And I'm having a really hard time focusing on things. I was just sitting over on the Mississippi River taking pictures of canvasbacks at 50 yards or so, and had the camera clamped on the window, solid rest, and really tried to focus precisely on those, on that waterfowl. And every picture I would take, it seemed like the clearest focus was either on the water in front of the duck a foot or so, or in back of them. And I just can't seem to get that focus right. And I'm not at all concerned about the shutter speed or the f-stop. I can adjust all that. It's just that none of those pictures are worth anything if you can't get them in sharp focus. And I blame myself for a long time, but it just, things are pointing at the problem other than myself, because I really try to concentrate on it and
do the best you can. Well, hang on, Gary. We'll be taking a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net. Then we'll be back with Jack, and he'll have some answers for you. Stay with us. There's nothing like a great photo to remind you of wonderful travels or time spent with friends and family. And with the holiday season upon us, many of us have lots of opportunities to take great pictures. But how do we make sure they're good ones? Hi, Larry Mueller here. Glad you could join us today on the Ideas Network. Jack Socha is a photography instructor and the author of How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought. And he's happy to answer your questions about buying the right camera for you and then getting the most out of it. Are you happy with the photos that you take? Call us at 1-800-642-1234. Go to our Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page to post your comments or questions there. Like the page while you're there. Click like there, and we'll send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. We'll be back with Jack Socha right after this look at the news. Well, there was a time, and not that long ago, when taking pictures meant buying film, loading it into the camera, waiting until the roll was finished, and then sending it off to get developed. Could be days or weeks or sometimes longer to get those photos back. Now it's all instantaneous, and we can immediately see what we took, whether it's good or not, and if we want to keep it, that's all great. One thing hasn't changed. We still need to know how to use our camera in order to get good shots. And we're lucky to have Jack Socha with us. We call on him often as a resource. He's a photography instructor and author of the book How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought. It's always great to have him with us to share what he knows. And Jack, thanks again for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, and I do hope that people will go over to my site, acpress.com, where you can download the preface and the table of contents of the book to see what's in it, because quite frankly, they make a heck of a good stocking stuffer and kind of a polite way of telling a person you really should learn to use your camera. But they're inexpensive. They're beautifully laid out. I must credit my wife for doing that. She's really good at that kind of thing. And they are full of illustrations and some basic photography. The first half of the book is stuff you really should know. Towards the end of the book, it says if you never even find this on your camera, it won't matter. It's really designed for the average person, and there's multiple copy discounts and things like that. They're all at acpress.com. Do we still have our friend on the line who had the lens that was giving him trouble?
I believe we have Gary. Are you still there?
Yes, I am, Larry.
Okay. I had some chance to think about this, which is a good thing. The first thing you got to start doing some empirical checking, number one.
And we should probably review.
Yes. He's got a very nice, good lens that seems to be focusing either in front or behind his subject, and he's trying to figure out why.
Yes.
Yeah, and Jack, I've taken pictures where I've changed the shutter speed from real slow to real fast to see if it was camera movement. I have taken pictures where I have actually focused in front of the subject and slowly focused through it as I was taking rapid fire pictures. And it's a rare occasion when I get a subject that's usually wildlife subjects that are in nice, clear focus. It's just real frustrating. Yeah.
Well, number one, there's a couple of checks I think we ought to go through. If you put a different lens on the camera, does the camera then focus properly?
No, because I was using a, I think it's a 75 to 50 telephoto lens, Canon lens I bought with it, and I had the same problem.
Okay, so maybe you could, there's a couple of things that could be going on. There could be a defect in the camera itself.
Uh-huh.
That's a good possibility. The other possibility, has anybody been playing with your camera? Number six on my list is check every setting on your camera because people love to play with buttons. There are settings on your camera where you can change essentially where the which focusing sensors are turned on and turned off. And so, for example, it's possible to have all the ones on the right turned on and all the ones on the left turned off. You might familiarize yourself with that and maybe even turn off some sensors on both sides so only what's in the center is what it's working with. But if you're getting out-of-focus pictures with two different lenses, then it's beginning to sound like there might be something wrong with the camera. The other thing you can do is go to the Canon website, see if there's what is known as a firmware upgrade for your camera. This is something that you download, you put it into a card, you stick the card in your camera, and you turn the camera on holding down certain secret buttons. And it literally updates the computer firmware built into the camera, and it might correct the situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's well worth a look.
Yeah, I would
check that out. I've just been trying to figure out whether it's me or the equipment.
I'd be happier knowing it's the camera body than the lens, because you probably have to keep the lens a lot longer. It may be a good excuse to go out and buy another body that's even got a higher ISO, because they keep getting better.
Yeah, you might even could he go to a camera shop and take his lens and try his lens on?
The advantage of having a full service camera store in your neighborhood is you can do exactly that kind of thing. And I hope there's one nearby. I really do.
Yeah, Buscobel, there is. Gary, good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your calling. Andy in Vernon Hills, it's your turn. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Happy Hanukkah to you.
To you as well.
I have a question for you. I want to buy a HD camera, and I've seen them. They're like round and real mobile. They're supposed to be, you can put them anywhere, water resistant. I don't know the name of it.
There's a number of those out there. These are for lack of a better term, action type cameras. They can be mounted on bicycles, on helmets. There's a whole bunch of them out there, and some are very good, and some of them are terrible. I can't give you a particular brand name, but I would suggest either going to a sports store that might be selling them or perhaps going online. Read the reviews very, very carefully because most of these are, they range from being something that you really could use for extreme sports to basically something that looks the same but is really only a toy. Price is going to be part of your gauge. I see them for $65 and I see them for $200. And I would just carefully do some reviews. You might go up to one of my favorite sites, which is Steve's Digicams, and see if he has any comments on there. Always be a little bit cautious of online reviews simply because, like, once again, there's a lot of people who expect miracles out of a $65 camera or they don't really quite know how to use them properly. But these extreme sports ones are getting more popular. Try to find one that comes with all of the mounts that you think you're going to need. Because they've got helmet mounts, straps,
There's a lot of those. You're right.
Yeah. So price is part of it. They all look the same, but there are internal sensors and ISOs and stuff like that that make a big difference. So just do some real careful online checking and different forums and see what you can find.
All right.
I got one more question.
Sure.
Detailed, Larry. Can you name me a good app I can put for my iPhone 4 for cameras? It seems like the one they have by default isn't really all that good. Do you know of a good iPhone app for cameras?
You know, I've got several of them, and I, for the life of me, you could put a gun to my head, and I wouldn't be able to tell you which one was which. There are some ones that are the pro versions that cost, and there are free ones. A lot of times, if you go to the store there, you can download the free version of something and give it a try first, and then see which ones you like. It depends what you're trying to do with it. Most of the ones I use are for fixing the picture after it's taken. And I don't have my stuff in front of me right now. So, but there's got to be at least 100 of them. And again, take a look. Go look at the ratings that people say, because on the App Store you can see how they're rated and what users have to say. So, just see if you can find one that a lot of folks really, really like.
Great.
All right.
Thanks, Larry.
Yep. Thank you very much for calling. I've got a little lens that I got for my wife for her iPhone 4S. And you can attach it. It's a close-up lens or a telephoto.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, it seems like every time a new format of camera comes out, they find great little gadgets to stick on them.
it's amazing. I forget what I paid for. It was, I don't know, $80-$90, I think.
It was a better one. And just like with these extreme sports cameras, there are some really good auxiliary lenses that are quite nice, and there are some really dreadful ones. And price is frequently the $10 one. You're going to get a $10 lens.
There you go.
Don't ask how I know that.
Oh, man, I tell you what. Jack Socha, our guest, author of How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought. We have a link to his page, acpress.com, on my Facebook page. You can go there if you want to take a look, or just go straight to acpress.com. Take a look. It's a great book. I've used it, and nice thing I like about it is that even somebody like me can follow the instructions.
Well, there's a lot of common sense in it. And also, we're talking about lenses. Number 9 on my list of the 12 camera checks of Christmas is clean your lens. Yeah. I cannot tell you how many people I tutor, and I happen to glance at the front of the lens, and there's a big fingerprint right on it. and also, if you do clean your lens, be very careful how you do it. Do not use tissue paper, TP, anything with wood pulp in it, because they've got fibers in there which can really ruin that coating. You need to get a special cloth or paper made for cleaning lenses. And if you buy any lens cleaning solution, do not put it on the lens. Put it on the cloth, and very little of it, because if you squeeze a whole bunch onto your lens, and it can drip down the sides and get inside the lens housing.
And you don't want that, for sure.
No, you can have a real mess. You can have a real mess. You know, one of the things also this time of year that we keep talking about is that if you go out in sub-freezing weather for a very, very long time with your camera, you should really bring along a baggie, a plastic Ziploc bag, and put the camera in the bag before you bring it back into a very warm, humid house. Because just as your glasses get coated with ice when you walk inside, which then turns to water, the same thing can happen to the inside of your camera and its lens.
Apparently,
this is the cause of some cell phone failures as well.
We have those are great tips. Do you have any? Leslie emailed us. Do you have any tips for taking a good outdoor picture of Christmas lights on my daughter's house? And she probably doesn't want a daytime picture. She probably wants a nighttime picture.
Yeah. Well, number one, if you can get a tripod, that's a good choice. Do that. Number two, get familiar with my favorite button on the camera, which is the exposure compensation button. This is the one that has the plus and the minus on it. That will let you lighten or darken the picture so you can take several different shots. Also, if you have scenes on your camera, which most of these point-and-shoots do, try using the fireworks setting, only leave the camera steady, and that should leave the shutter open for a longer period of time.
That's a good tip. David in South Milwaukee, hello. Oops, I'm sorry, Mary in Hastings, Minnesota, hello to you.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. And I'm interested. Well, the question that I have is, our children want to go ahead and buy me a camera for Christmas.
Okay. And you...
What are you planning on using it for when you get it, Mary?
I would say mostly family pictures, people. We do have a cottage up in northern Wisconsin that we go to, and we do some outdoor pictures. But for the most part, they want to spend about $300. And
whoa.
I have a point-and-shoot Canon right now, and mm-hmm. when I took it in to a shop recently, they said because it's a little bit older, it's draining the batteries right away.
Yeah,
Well, older cameras are not as efficient as newer cameras, if that's what they mean. That is correct. As long as you're not trying to shoot action sports indoors in a gymnasium, there's a vast number of cameras on the market that will easily fit into that price range. Canon makes great ones. Samsung, Panasonic makes the Lumix series, which are beautiful cameras. What I would really suggest you do is either go to a full-service camera store or someplace where they have cameras on display and look at them. See if you like the controls, the buttons, if they feel comfortable in your hand, if the menu and the operating system is intuitive as far as you're concerned, if you like having a second viewfinder, or if you're happy with just having the one on the back, things like that. And then you can just, tell them some reindeer which one you want.
I think that's a great idea, because it really, I mean, a lot of cameras, in terms of the quality and whether they're going to last at that price range, probably all kinds of them would serve you well.
But they
all have a little bit different ways of being handled and used.
Yeah, and a lot of it depends on whether you want a long zoom lens or not. The funny thing is they frequently are putting long zoom lenses on little small cameras that don't have a second viewfinder, and it's very difficult to hold those steady. So a lot of it depends on what you're trying to shoot. If you need really small size, there's dozens and dozens of them, and the kids could probably get you one and give you an extra $100 to go out to dinner, and you still wouldn't top $300.
Huh?
Okay. Yeah. So
those are very generous kids. I like your kids.
Yeah.
So there isn't a brand that you really
In my classes, and I'll just say I see the Canon brand is probably about 6 out of 10 cameras I see are Canons. Now, that could be availability, it could be advertising, it could be word of mouth, but there are excellent ones from Nikon, from Sony. But I must tell you that I wish I had stock in Canon right now.
Okay.
you probably could find a Canon for a couple $100 and have them buying an extra battery and maybe a little tripod for it, so you have a whole outfit.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Good luck, Mary. Thank you very much for calling. And David in South Milwaukee, your turn now. Thank you for calling.
Well, hi, and I'm happy to speak with you today. The reason I'm calling, I have a Nikon Coolpix, I think it's an L500, D500, something like that. It's 14 megapixel, but it has a 36x optical. My brother's going to Alaska, and he's looking for a camera to buy for, especially taking some long shots while they're on the tour buses and stuff. Trying to suggest a good camera for him. With my experience, when you use that long zoom, it's really hard to get a fine focus, clear shot, even with the image stabilization.
Yeah, it's true. There's just the law of physics going on. When you magnify an image as much as a 30x optical zoom does, you're also magnifying the shake. There's just no two ways about it. And it's very important, as an aside, when people are looking at zoom lenses on compact cameras, make sure you're only measuring the optical zoom, not the so-called digital zoom.
Right.
Because digital is just cropping the image once the camera has taken the picture. So be sure you're comparing apples with apples. Image stabilization works fairly well, but quite frankly, he'd be smart to buy, I wouldn't say a tripod, that might be too cumbersome, but you can buy a monopod, which is a cane-like affair that retracts, that would steady the image quite a bit. But yeah, there's just no two ways about it. When you have a small camera with a equivalent of a 400-millimeter lens, and the lens opening is only 5.6 or f/8, and it's not a real, real bright day, you're going to get a slow shutter speed. It's just hard to do. We're really pushing compact cameras to the limits of what they can do. I would consider perhaps a bridge camera like a Fuji or one of the Nikon bridge cameras where they've got the double viewfinders, because a little larger, a little more substantial camera, which should allow you to hold it closer to your chest and look in the viewfinder as opposed to holding it extended out 2 feet from your eyes, I think you get better results.
Yeah, that's kind of what I suggested was a monopod, but they're concerned about taking some of the photos from a bus while they're on the tour. And I suggested one of these little tripod that have the flexible
lights. That's a possibility, too. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think stabilization is really the thing. You've got to just keep the camera steady. And like I say in the book, unfortunately, the laws of physics haven't changed because we've gone from film to digital.
Yeah.
You know, slow is still slow.
Yeah.
You've got to just suck it in and hold it steady. And if you can rest it on something, great. And if not, just good luck with it.
And thanks, David, for calling. We have got an email from Julie. She's a professional photographer, works with a Nikon D700 for work, but for daily use, it's too big. It doesn't fit in her purse or pocket. And I'm, as a fellow photographer, I'm curious to hear what you, Jack, would recommend that shoots good quality images and is small enough to fit in a purse or jacket pocket. And
you
I'm planning to share your answer with my husband.
Oh, okay. Believe it or not, the last camera I purchased, and this is a few months ago, is from Kodak. They're now in bankruptcy. I hope they come out. I don't know what they're going to do when they do. But the last batch of cameras they came out with were really fascinating. I think they're 16 megapixels. The one I have has got a touch screen on the back. It's kind of eerily like an iPod Touch. I keep wanting to make it zoom by pushing my fingers. You know, it doesn't do that. But the nice thing about it is that you don't have to press the shutter to take the picture. You can just press the screen. And in addition to that, something you might have some fun with on the playback mode, you can also, if you want to make the background out of focus, you could just take your finger and rub it on the screen, and it puts the background, it blurs the background for you and then saves it as a separate picture.
Wow.
I think mine is called a 5350. It's a 16 megapixel, and I think I paid $85 for it. Because
wow.
Right now Kodak is, people are afraid of buying Kodak stuff because, you know, they're yeah. in bankruptcy. But gee whiz, it's a cool camera for the money, and it shoots some HD video as well. And it's small.
Yeah.
I've gotten some good results from it. Again, it's not designed for high-speed indoor photography, but I found it to be a very satisfying camera to use if you can understand how that works. It works well.
Good tip. Barb in St. Germain, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry and Jack. I'm learning a lot from you today.
Thank you.
Well, I've been interested in the digital Polaroid camera that's out since I first read about it. And a little 2x3 print pops out of the side. It has 10 megapixels, 6x digital zoom, and a 3-inch color screen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got some kind of, you know, patented technology where there's crystals in the paper, so they're inkless. And, again, I'm wondering, Jack, if you've actually seen or played with the camera?
I have not. Now, Polaroid went bankrupt, and the name Polaroid was purchased by somebody else.
Okay.
And they've revived the name. I have not had a chance to touch one. Now, the 6X digital zoom means it really doesn't have a zoom at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it just means it's cropping the picture. So there's no real zoom. When you crank it out to 6X, you're simply taking the existing picture and just printing the center part of it. So there really isn't a zoom there.
Okay.
But it is an interesting concept. I have not had a chance to try one at all, but it would be your basic point-and-shoot camera. I would be curious to see, number one, how much the little paper prints cost, and number two, how long they will be available, because these things tend to come and go. I wish them luck with it. It may be a fascinating product. I actually have an inexpensive Polaroid point-and-shoot that's just a straight digital camera. I think it's only 8 megapixels, and it's got some fascinating funky little features that you don't find in other ones. So they're trying to be a little bit trendy, and they're trying something different. I don't know what the price range is for it, but if you can go to a full-service camera store, they may have some examples that they've taken they can show you.
And thanks a lot for calling. We are out of time, Jack. Boy, it flew by.
Yeah, it sure did. Yeah. Well, I hope people will stop by acpress.com. We're doing a little bit of resurfacing of the look of the thing, but the information is still there. There's many of the articles that were generated before previous shows. So all kinds of things on close-up photography and, basically some good basic information.
Jack, thanks again. Jack Socha, Great to have him with us. Thank you so much for listening, and stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.